We seem to be in a world where there's lots of anxiety and problems, depression, and a world which seems to be full of conflict, one with another, even starting in schools. A number of months ago, I started to preach about the fact of getting out of the boat, actually taking God at his word and speaking and getting out, just like Peter did. And he started to walk on the water. But when he turned and started to look at the waves, he started to sink. And I quoted that with a particular verse in Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In my last sermon a month ago, I talked about the fear of failure, the fact that there were a number of people in the Bible that feared the task that God had given to them, but needed reassurance. And I guess in our Christian life, there's a lot of things that we may be afraid of even trying to do, but we need to step out in faith, believing that God would be with us. And so this morning I'd like to talk about the need for forgiveness. The story we heard, or the incident we heard this morning in our Bible reading, I was quite amazed just recently to find that some would suggest that that's not in the original text. Obviously, people would say in the commentaries that it was an occurrence that did occur, but it wasn't in the original text in John. However, the story goes like this. Jesus was staying at the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he travelled to the temple in Jerusalem. A crowd gathered, and he began to teach them. The Jewish leaders grabbed a woman taken in adultery and dragged her before Jesus as he taught. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Moses' law says that she should be stoned. What do you say? Interestingly, if you look at the laws of Moses, the man involved also should have been stoned, but he was not there. Jesus bent down and began to write in the dirt. He straightened up and said, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her. The Jewish leaders wondered what they should do. Then, one by one, they started to leave. The oldest ones left first. I guess they were aware of the fact of how sinful they really were. Followed by the youngest. Eventually, only the woman was left standing there. And Jesus said, where are those that condemn you? And she said, there's no one here. Neither do I condemn you, he said. Go and leave your life of sin. The Jewish leaders, as you would have read that particular passage, obviously wanted to trap Jesus in his response to this incident. If Jesus said that the woman should be stoned, not be stoned, they would arrest him for violating Moses' law. If, however, they were obeying Moses' law, both parties should have been stoned. If Jesus urged them to execute her, they would have reported him to the Romans, who did not permit the Jews to their own executions. Jesus' response showed it was God's role to judge and not ours. Our role is to show compassion and forgiveness. Jesus didn't condemn the woman, neither did he ignore or condone her. He told her to go and to sin no more. Wonderful thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he stands to forgive any sin in your life. But confession and repentance means a change of heart. With God's help, we can accept Christ's forgiveness and stop our wrongdoing. You know, the Bible is full of those who were forgiven for what they had done. It's reminded as I read the scriptures of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil. She was told that she was forgiven. Remember the story of the man that was brought down through the roof. And Jesus said, "Your sin was forgiven. Take up your bed and go." Stirred up the Pharisees and the scribes that were there. And of course, we know very well the story of David and the sins that he committed. Forgive and forget is what the old saying says. But is it that simple? I've been involved in the past in prison ministry, speaking to inmates, particularly in the Maitland jail recently. It was sort of interesting to talk to them and to share the gospel message. I remember a drug addict that I was speaking to recently, wanted to turn his life around. Made the comment, "Will God really forgive me for what I have done?" Many of the inmates there are people that have committed some pretty horrible crimes. Not an easy ministry, but it's worthwhile to get in there and to speak to those that are, I guess, taking the punishment for the crimes they've committed. But the fact that God loves them and they need God's forgiveness. In contrast, speaking to young people in some of my scripture classes in the high school, in the local high school, the responses of many of them say, "I don't need forgiveness. I've never done anything wrong." I was speaking a couple of weeks ago to the students in a Christian school in Avondale, in Currumbong, school in Avondale. I was conducting a Bible study with them and I asked them, were they sure they were forgiven by God? And I sort of went around the number of young people, I think there were about 20 in the group. Now the young people were not sure whether they had received forgiveness from God in their lives. And I wonder whether we really know and are really sure that we are forgiven. We do need to be forgiven because we have sinned against God. We've sinned. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. Bible tells us, I believe it. Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. The Bible goes on to tell us the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. God hates sin. Sin spreads in our life, spoils our life, and eventually will separate us for eternity from a God who loves us. You know, sin is breaking God's law. Sin is not meeting up to God's standard. Sin is when I am living for myself rather than living for God. The Bible says we've all sinned. We have a sinful nature. Sin also hurts us, without exception. There's always negative consequences that come with that. Not only sin hurts us, but so often hurts those that are around us. Many people that we love. The Bible says we are deceitful and wicked above all things, our heart is. One stage or other, a number of years ago, my wife and I were involved in ministering to young people in courts. And so we'd often visit the courts in Sydney. And we'd talk to young people that were going before the judge because of the crimes they had committed. I remember on one occasion we were talking to a young man who had been caught because he had killed somebody else. I remember talking to him, we sort of asked him, why had he done what he'd done? And the young man said, "I don't know. I simply don't know why I did it." And I guess it's just an evidence of the fact that we have a sinful heart, that the sinful nature is such that we have the potential to do some terrible things. Well, if we're all sinful, as the Bible says, and I believe it, I believe we have a heart that's against God. We battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So if we need to be forgiven, how are we forgiven? Well, the scriptures teach us that because of God's love, Jesus was willing to pay the punishment of our sin by dying on a cross for us. The scriptures quite clearly teach us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Do we believe it? Do we believe that God loves us so much that he was willing to forgive us? Again, the scriptures teach us, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Do we believe it? And again in Peter, "For Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God." And again, we have in Ephesians, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Do we believe it? You know, Jesus came and died, showed us the way to God, came and died on our behalf. His hands and feet were nailed upon a cross. On his head was a cruel crown of thorns. Prior to that, he was whipped with a whip for 39 times. Why? Because he loved us. Because he wanted to forgive us. You know, we need to receive that forgiveness by admitting and repenting of our sin and asking God to forgive us. The Bible talks about the fact that we need Jesus, the Son of God, to forgive our sin. The Bible says it's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible goes on to talk about, "If I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved." God loves us. God is willing to forgive us. but we need to make him Lord, Saviour of our lives. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Though the penalty of sin has been paid in full on a cross, we continue to sin. And when we do, we need to confess it and repent of it and ask Jesus to forgive us. Our relationship with God is my responsibility. I need to walk in such a way that I recognise the things that I do wrong and seek to deal with them immediately. However, God has given us the Holy Spirit to defeat the power of sin in our lives and to overcome the temptation that we all face. It's wonderful when I read the scriptures, I find these scriptures like this: "For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sin no more." Comes from Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. And again, this is God's promise, mercy and grace to his people under the new covenant. It implies that God will not hold his people's sin against them, but will treat them as if they have never happened. God loves us. Jesus died for us. He's willing to forgive us. We need to walk in fellowship with him. You know, as a result, we can forgive ourselves and press on with our lives. I notice in the last couple of hymns we sung before the message today, we talked about being ashamed. I want to remind you, young people, that because of what Jesus has done and the forgiveness he offers, we can stand in his presence and not be ashamed. I've told the story before of a young man I taught some time ago when I was teaching in a school in Sydney. I remember a young man, he'd been brought from Africa and brought into the school, and of course he found it rather difficult. His English was pretty poor, and the young people gave him a tremendous amount of ribbing because of that. They treated him pretty badly, and I was amazed at the way that he reacted. He kept on helping other people and being kind to other people. On one occasion, having suffered quite significantly from the cruelty of some of the young people in the school, I took him to a side into my office and asked him why he reacted the way he did. Well, he said, "In my home country, before the rebellion, I was the son of a king. My parents were killed. Now I'm a refugee in Australia. But my parents, before they were killed, told me to do one thing." He said, "Wherever I am or whatever I do, act as a children of the king." I want to tell you, young people, we are children of the King of Kings. We need to act. We need to believe and we need to act. You know, when we only know God's forgiveness, that we can truly forgive others that we meet day by day. Let's pray. Father, it's really amazing to believe that You really care for us. You really love us unconditionally. Father, we know the scriptures teach us that Jesus loved us so much that he died for us on a cross. Something that's so hard to understand and believe, but he did. And Father, the scriptures teach us, and we need to believe it, that because he died, our sins could be forgiven. Give us a new life, a new purpose. And Father, this morning may we be encouraged to realise that our sins are forgiven. And Father, help us to be courageous enough to live lives showing both to you and to others that reality, that truth, that we are truly forgiven. And for this we would ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Such great love and mercy as he grants us this. Yeah, let's stand.